Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Luke, and we might even end up in starting into the book of John. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Last time we were talking about the two men that were on the road to Emmaus, and I'm going to read here from Luke 24:33. It says, "And they rose up that very hour." Now, the very hour that they rose up was after Jesus had a meal with them and he was shown who he was. So this was in the dark now. "And they rose up at that very hour and went back to Jerusalem," which was a walk of 7.5 miles. "And they found the 11 collected together," this was in the dark, "and those with them that were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they rehearsed the happenings on the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread." And right as this happened, as they were speaking these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they'd beheld a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And wherefore do you questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, because a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you behold me having." And when he'd said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you here something to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and they took it and ate before them.
And spirits don't eat food.
And so they're, like you were saying before, that's a proof to them that they're really seeing something different here. Spirits don't eat food. He proved to them. And they were frightened. So people told him they didn't believe it. He actually appeared to him and told him it was him, and they were afraid and didn't believe it until he did that. And then it settled him down. He ate something with them. He ate something right in front of them.
He came as the Son of Man, the fallen Adam, and took away our sins, took it to the cross with him. It was nailed to the cross. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose and was seen by quite a few people. We'll have to go all the way through the Gospels and actually get into the walk with Jesus through the book of Acts, and it'll tell you exactly how many people saw him in the flesh. They actually saw him. It was quite a few. But he actually even tells us a number of it.
It was interesting, too, because in some cases it says he was in another form, and I've never really thought about that, but it was something that they didn't recognize, that they couldn't recognize at that time.
I think for a purpose. I think
he had exactly.
Yeah, like Cleopas. I think in another place it says that he was unrecognizable by Cleopas and his friend.
They didn't know who he was, but they knew who he was, but he didn't look like who he was.
Right.
He didn't look the same.
But they didn't know it until he broke bread. That's exactly when they saw it. Their eyes were opened.
Now, the place in Matthew, after he was raised, it's in Matthew 28. It says, "And lo, Jesus met them, saying, 'Hail,' and they came and took a hold of his feet and worshiped him." And that was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary at the sepulcher. If you read in there, that's the first time that he was seen and understood who he was.
By the women.
By the women. And the women were the first in this, not the guys on the road to Emmaus. The women were shown who he was first.
And they seemed to be there. They seemed to not leave, right, Brett?
Yeah, well, we just read a little earlier that it was in Matthew in 27, after is the same account that we were reading in Luke with Joseph of Arimathea. Here's another picture of that where it says here in verse 59, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. And it says here, and Miriam Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. So these women stayed with him that whole way to the point of his resting place.
Everybody has their place, and they have their special place. God, we are God's creation.
God saw it fit to mention that, to make sure that we knew. He saw what these women were doing and how much care they had for the Son of Man.
Take it back even all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. God said it was not good for a man to be alone, so I will make a helper comparable to him.
Jesus wasn't really alone.
So the women fill a place that men are lacking.
Can we back up for one second?
We need a helper. So here, these are the women. This is their part to help men's frailty. So it wasn't always just men ministering in this. It mentions this, and you don't really notice it for the first time you go through the Bible, or second or third or maybe the 10th. But all of a sudden, after a while, you start seeing Jesus ministering, and then all of a sudden it breaks away, and you start hearing about people like Joanna, Mary Magdalene, and so on, always taking care of the details that need to be taken care of. And the men are into the men things.
Right.
But here's a very important part, too, that it's not good for a man to be alone, it says. And there's a reason why. And he created woman from the man to fill in those needs that men have, but a comparable mate, not a subjugated.
This is something I'd like to read this again out of Matthew. There's something else here. I'm in Matthew 28:1. Now, late in the week, that's after Jesus has been in the tomb here, it began to dawn the first day of the week, and came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to view the sepulcher. And lo, there was a great earthquake, for the Lord's angel had descended from heaven, and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And the fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead. And the angel answered and said to the women, here are the angels telling him, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, the crucified one. He's not here, for he's risen, even as he said. Come see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And lo, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, and lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to report to his disciples. And lo, Jesus met them, saying, hail. And they came and took a hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, fear not, go report to my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So here we have the women. An angel told them what to do about this, and then they walked right away and ran into Jesus, and then they went and saw him. So they were told by an angel what to do. Jesus said, hello, here, tell them to do this. And when they got there, they didn't believe any of that. That's a pretty big story there.
Now, how many of us understood all this the first time when we were new believers?
No.
Well, did you see us struggling with it today?
Yeah. But this is how the parallel gospels mm-hmm. work. They fill in the complete story. We couldn't do this back in Matthew. We had to wait till there was at least two or three versions that we are looking at of the same story. Matthew is the first version.
And that's where we're going back and going, oh, that's what he meant back here.
That you have to understand first. That's kindergarten.
Yeah, more pieces to play with.
Yeah.
Now, something that you had said a little bit ago, and I don't know what it was. I'm just sitting there playing with it in my head. But when we were talking about it's not good for man to be alone, and in reference to Jesus, like Jesus wasn't alone throughout that. Is that kind of what we were talking about?
What I'm talking about is women have their own ministry that is unique. Women have their own eyesight about things. It's the details, and sometimes that's a little bit too much for the men, but yet they can handle it. And how they do it, I don't have a clue, but they fill in what's missing from our nature.
And there they were.
It's literally
staying
missing.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ministering to Jesus.
Doing the details, and how in the world they did some things. We cannot understand it. A man can't explain that to us. We have to get to understand that part of it. And believe me, that doesn't happen with us as men. I think women see their role with us and their relationship with us before men do. I think we're kind of the last to focus on that. I mean, after all, they got 20-year head start because they were playing marriage from the time they're little girls and they're, you know, playing with dolls and stuff like that. And we were out playing in the dirt and building stuff. And that was our focus. And we didn't think about the care and the details. Didn't we have to learn to care for our kids, a lot of it from our wives?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's one guy who wasn't oblivious like maybe the rest of us guys. Joseph of Arimathea. Says here back in Matthew, Joseph by name, who also himself was a disciple of Jesus, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded it to be given up, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. So there was care even from him too, but you can still see, not to take away from what the women did, because the women, you're right, it was like that ministry. We all have a place in the kingdom of God for each one of us. And not God's not a respecter of persons and things like that.
So he did as good as he could. He got clean cloth and everything, but he left off the what? The women go, where are the spices?
Where are
all
spices?
The things?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We're not just going to do, what?
Right.
Well, that was the additional to it, see? He took the lead and they was like, okay, we know what he did. Okay, we're going to get this completed.
But this was orchestrated all by God.
Sure.
And all this, and he wanted us to see that.
Every member of the family is necessary, right? Right now we've been focusing on men, women differential, but then you can see the difference between each person too.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are more sensitive, like the gentleman Ray that started us. He was more considerate, like Joseph of Arimathea, of listening and taking care of details too. But the women, it's a whole different thing if you watch them over the years.
You know, when he said Joseph, Brett, when you said Joseph a while ago, I thought, oh, you're going to talk about Joseph when he talked about don't drive the animals too hard. Don't wear the women and the children out. They won't even make it a day. That he was sensitive like that. He was Jacob
yeah.
was sensitive. Jacob was sensitive. He was a J. Jacob was sensitive like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some men are because of having a lot of children or whatever, or they're just more sensitive because of their creation, the way God created them to be. Some are warriors.
And all together, we make a balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a balance. It's not a bunch of carbon copies. It's a balance of different pieces. And even he calls the church his body. like you have, you know, you can't run on your little finger.
And all the members are necessary.
And they're necessary. They're necessary. And the ones you think are not as necessary are the most necessary.
There's eyes, one's an eye, and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we need to finish reading Luke. Wow, that's been an interesting part of this. And when we get into John, we're not going to get into the mates so much. You won't see this in John, but this last thing we're talking about, the resurrection and running to the tomb, it's actually, this is one place that when we get into John, we're going to look at the parallel. There's even going to be more revealed when we get into John about this last part. You won't see this about all the other stories, you know, like the Beatitudes and so on, as much as you definitely, this one will be in even greater detail about the resurrection of Jesus in the book of John. And actually, it goes both ways further. It goes beyond where Matthew started with Abraham in Jesus's, in the genealogy to prove that Jesus was the king. Then Luke goes back all the way to Adam. He goes back 2,000 years before that. And John's even going to go way back before that and way after that. These are interesting gospels. The gospels, now in John, we're going to really become air flyers and go up high with views that you don't see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we need to finish Luke up first. And we are in the last two contexts. One is we're in 24, Luke, verses 44 through 49. And then the last context is 50 to 53.
And he said unto them, "These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled. Then opened he their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance unto remission of sins be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things, and lo, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high."
By the way, that verse 49, "and lo, I send forth my promise of my Father within you." It's the Greek word F. In other words, he's talking about the Holy Spirit filling us, within us. "But wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is going to happen when they are filled, when this promise of the Father fills us. It comes within us. And we'll get into that really a lot when we get into Acts, the book of practices. And then go ahead and finish reading 50 to 53, would you please?
"And he led them out until over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God."
Now, this last day that this, when he was carried up, that is only 7 days away from Pentecost. He was with them a total. There was 43 days. This is the last 7 days before the day of Pentecost.
And the way that Gil got those numbers was from other places. And he's not going to tell you where, but we'll find this out later, okay?
Right. This is only 7 days away from the book of Acts. And is there anything else? Oh, I've got one other thing. Back to verse 44, "And he said to them, These are my words." In other words, it's logo. This is my image. This is about me. This is the things that I have done for you. And the rest of the Bible is going to explain it in detail. The book of Romans will really explain all the things that he did in the law to bring us back into the presence of God. The book of Romans is really interesting, but we're not going to take our journey through that. But just so you know, yeah, this is my image. This is what I'm made of. This is why I did exactly everything I did for you. This is why I laid down my life for you, to make you a joint heir, to make you equal with me, to be my brothers. Can you imagine a brother doing this for another brother? We are joint heirs with Christ. We're his brothers. God is the Father, and we call Jesus Father too. But there's a lot involved in this, in these Gospels. And all the things that are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Psalms is the most quoted scripture out of Psalms in the New Testament. And the next one is Isaiah, the prophets of the prophets. But Moses also talked about Jesus. And that was Jesus meeting him in the burning bush before he led God's children out of bondage. And here is Jesus speaking here. And then he is caught up into heaven. This timing of this is just 7 days before we get into the book of Acts. But first, we need to go through the book of John. Let's get started. We can read the first context, verses. We'll start with verse 1, and which is a big verse. It's a little verse, but it is a big verse.
Something that stuck out to me.
Oh, Brett, he wants to digress and finish up Luke. There, apparently there's one last thing that we want to say.
And it says here at the end there, verse 52, and they worshiped him, talking about Jesus, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And wasn't the temple split? Was
the veil.
The veil, okay. So the veil,
which shows that the way into the holy place is now open.
Right. Okay, so that all took place, and yet they go to the temple. And I thought it was interesting, too, because when nowadays, you know, we are the temple. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are the temple of God. We're the house of God. And the promise hadn't been sent yet, so they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. So where they were going is they were going back to the temple because that's where they could bless God, I guess. Is that kind of a safe assumption?
Meet face to face with God.
That's where they could do it.
Well, let me look at something here. I'm going to read you that last day in Matthew. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, and lo, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And this is Mark, the same story. And Jesus uttered a loud voice and expired, and the veil of the sanctuary was rent in two, or torn in two, from top to bottom. And this is Luke. And it was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole earth until the ninth hour, the sun failing, and the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. They worshiped in Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. So now everybody's in the temple these 7 days before the book of Acts. Let's keep that in mind. That's a great point. I'm glad you stopped there and picked that up. They're going to be continually in the temple until the book of Acts.
Now, one other thing in this, in the next to the last context, when he was going to leave them, it says he opened up their mind to understand the scriptures. And then he says they were going to be clothed with power later. So there is a certain opening of the mind when people get close to Jesus and they're repentant and they're close to Jesus. I know I've talked to people that they understand a certain amount of things. And so Jesus at a certain point will open people's minds up when they are seeking him.
Well, didn't he have that prayer with the Father? Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you reveal them to babes.
Right.
So this didn't happen until he died on the cross. All these things
he did this
are
right
after
here.
The cross.
He did this right here.
And he did this 7 days before the book of Acts.
Right.
On the 43rd day, he did it. 7 days remaining.
So I guess what I'm saying is that we have to let that in,
mm-hmm.
that people that don't know everything you know won't hear things from God and understand God.
They need to be open-minded.
If they're open to God and really seeking him, their mind will be opened like this.
And we got to pay attention to what God allows them to see.
Well, isn't it interesting? The first thing he said is, change your mind, the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And that doesn't mm-hmm. happen until right here. That really, that is completed in this journey. And then we'll continually open our minds to more. We'll expand our minds and we'll keep them open as we go. But now he has opened our mind to understand what is written in the Bible.
In another way of saying it, their minds were closed and he opened it. So when a mind gets open, it's different.
There's an entrance.
There's an entrance there for
make
God.
It talks about making an entrance, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah.
You remember that scripture? Do you remember what that said? You were to make an entrance or give an entrance to God's word to come in us. There's something about that. I can't remember the exact place it is, but we are to actually make this entrance. We are to...
And he showed where the entrance started.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the mind.
Right.
Change the mind, that's the entrance.
That's the first thing. We don't change our flesh, we're to change our mind. Metanaos, repent, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And then two verses later, Jesus says, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Come after him. It's not beside him. It's not in front of him. It's like follow my footsteps. I could see that. Follow my footsteps. Come after me. And then they followed him. So they continued. First thing is they continued in the temple until the book of Acts. But we still have one more gospel to finish up with, and that's the Gospel of John, which is going to have a real high view, a wide horizon. We're going to get the biggest snapshot of the Gospels in the book of John. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.